I have to announce to you that I will never retire.
They think they got the answers. I change the questions.
I'm not impressed by your performance.
Anderson Silva, you absolutely suck.
Welcome, everybody, to the Crimson Canvas podcast. Evan Showman here is your first host. Second host is my man, Mr. Dion Harrison, to my left and to my right, actually to my north, way north, we have Dan Rose, our third host here. Everybody, we got a great show for you today. We got Anthony Burchak from the UFC. We're going to talk some UFC, we're going to talk some Royal Rumble, we're going to talk some Monday Night Raw, we're going to talk some wrestling, some fighting, some maybe some movies, you know.
It's always a good time.
It just depends on whatever comes up. Dan is kind of wears the daddy pants on this show. Dan has like a guideline that he likes to go and talk about things.
What are those?
So to keep us on track, so Dan and I don't talk about basketball. And we wind up talking about things that actually matter, and people that are interested in those things listen to this show. Now, that being said, Dan, what is first on the agenda?
Well, you know what? We can talk about whatever we want, Evan. We can talk about MMA. We can talk about WWE. Let's start with MMA. So, UFC 196 took a big hit this week as Cain Velasquez had to bow out of his World Heavyweight Championship main event with Fabricio Werdum with a back injury. The UFC said not to worry, fans. We are going to replace him with Stipe Miocic. But that fight's not going to happen now either, as Werdum is all of a sudden injured and saying, no, I am not going to partake in this fight. So, long story short, UFC 186 is now being main evented by Johnny Hendricks versus Thompson, and the co-main event, if you can believe this, is Roy Nelson and Jared Rosholtz, and it's been moved from pay-per-view to Fox Sports 1.
I like the fact that Josh Barnett said, I'll fight for the title.
Of course, Barnett's a stud.
Yeah. Hell yeah, I want to see Josh Barnett fight Stipe Miocic.
Yep, Stipe, whatever his last name
Stipe
is.
Stipe, and he's going to not have a good time with Josh Barnett, I guarantee you that.
And then John Jones said, I'll do it if it's not for an interim title, if it's for a real title, but you can't just strip Werdum because he got injured, you know?
He didn't get injured. He was smart, and I don't blame him.
Yeah.
Okay?
But either way, you still can't just...
John Jones did the same thing before when Chael Sonnen offered to fight, but you got to give some of these fighters a break sometimes. I mean, if you're preparing for one guy... You're preparing for Cain Velasquez, and then suddenly you get someone like Stipe, who is a different fighter than Cain. Cain, you know exactly what you're getting when you get Cain. Pressure fighter, try and get in your face, you know, and you game plan around that. Stipe, you don't know what the fuck Stipe's going to do. So it's a whole different game plan. He's banged up. Smart thing to do is say, you know what? I'm just not going to do it.
As you got to protect yourself in this business, and that's what Fabricio Werdum was doing. He's basically saying, you know what, it's not the fight I trained for. Like Evan said, it's not the fight that makes sense for me right now. No, thank you.
Yeah. I mean, when you're at that top, you can't really pick and choose that stuff if you're a mid-tier guy.
Yeah.
You know, the mid-tier guys who make about $600,000.
Yeah, no shit.
We'll get to that in a minute. But, you know, if you're a mid-tier guy, you don't have that luxury. I can, you know, right now, take some time off, you know, heal up. No, you'll get your pink slip. They'll send you on your way. When you're a champion, when you're a multiple-time champion like Kane, when you're a champion in two different organizations, is Strikeforce and
UFC, like UFC. Yeah, you're 38 years old. You're not like, oh, sure, give me the next guy that's coming in. Oh, a young guy that's been killing people? Yeah, absolutely. That sounds great. No. Yes, fighters fight, but at that level, when you're at that top 10, top 5 spot, you got to be smart about your career. And as much as we'd all like everybody to be gung-ho, and I'll fight anyone, anywhere, anytime, I don't care. Yeah. That's cool to say when you don't make any money.
Yeah, you can't do it. It doesn't make sense.
You don't do that when you're one of the people that make money.
I completely agree with you. I'm really disappointed that the co-main event is Roy Nelson and Rosholt. I just think that's... You know how I feel about Jared Rosholt.
Yeah, I know how you feel about him. I picked him to win his last fight, didn't I? And I was right. I was the only one that was right. And everybody got mad at me for picking Jared Rosholt, and I was right. Because he has a tendency of making, yes, the fights can be dreadfully boring, but he still gets the win.
And that's what counts, I guess. You did pick him, I'll give you that. We gave you some shit for it, but you were right. You were the only one that was right.
Yeah, what did I say? I said it's not like I want to pick him.
Yeah, it's right. You're not picking him like on your fantasy fucking MMA team.
I'm not picking him because I'm like, yeah, Jared Rosholt, baby. Hurt from affliction. No.
Yeah. I hear you.
Jared Rosholt, he's going to lean up against the fence and try for a takedown for 14 of the 15 minutes after he gasses after the first.
Yeah, it's going to be a not very exciting fight, but maybe Roy Nelson will put the big bear paw on him and get him out of there early. I don't know. But speaking of fighters that you do love, this Saturday night, Ryan Bader versus Rumble Johnson, and of course, Josh Barnett versus Ben Rothwell. So they're both fighting this weekend, which is nice.
Where are they fighting exactly?
I want to say it's New Jersey.
Okay, because last time they had an all heavyweight main card,
yeah,
and they did it in Denver. Or they did it in Colorado.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I'm like, you have guys that gas below sea level, huh? And you can put them like 2,000 feet. You put them at the top of the Andes Mountains.
Yeah, let's see how it works with fat guys at the Mile High. It's probably not the best way to go.
No. So, whatever. Anyway.
Yeah, it's Newark, New Jersey. Lovely Newark, New Jersey.
It should be a good. It should be a good little fight they got going.
Yeah, I think so, too. It's going to be Anthony Johnson and Ryan Bader. Those are two guys that are right on the verge of a championship getting after each other. And, of course, Josh Barnett, anytime he fights, I'm on board. And Rothwell, so. And then, of course, Sage Northcutt's on the card making his welterweight debut. So, it's all in all, it should be pretty fun.
Wait, Sage Northcutt's fighting on this card weekend? This card?
Yeah, he's fighting on this card as well.
Didn't he just fight last week? Like, last month?
Yeah, a while ago. He was supposed to fight Andrew Holbrook at 155, but Holbrook had to pull out. So he's fighting somebody else now, and I can't for the life of me remember his name. It's like, I don't even want to guess, but it's at 170 he's fighting a guy, so he's making his welterweight debut for the UFC.
Dude, I think too many people give Sage Northcutt a hard time. I think
he's awesome.
I mean, dude's... Like, he's a good fighter, and I don't know why people are kind of pissing on the guy, but...
People are jackasses, that's the bottom line.
Because he looks like a Ken doll. But, I mean, he's 19 years old and beating people in the UFC and doing flips and...
Wow.
Yeah, he's
crazy.
He's absolutely shredded.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Dude.
But yeah, and one last part of that card that should be pretty exciting is... Tarek Saffiedin is fighting Jake Ellenberger on the main event of the prelims. So, should be fun.
Where have I been that I'm missing all this stuff?
No kidding. And that Randy Brown kid from the episode of Looking for a Fight with Dana White and Matt Serra and the Nick the Tooth, he's also making his debut on the Fight Pass portion of this card.
Was that the black kid that was...
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, he's...
So yeah, there's a lot of exciting stuff happening on that card this weekend. So
why and any reason why it's to 170?
Any reason why Northcutt's at 170? Do you say?
Yeah,
I think just because the only guy that was able to step up on the last minutes was a guy who couldn't make the cut to 155. He's a 170 guy.
Okay.
So that's and Sage is like whatever, you know.
I mean, he's not small, Sage Northcutt.
Yeah.
But...
Yeah, he'll do the damn thing. So,
guys that are 170 are big. They're like my size, walking around. You know what I mean? But I mean, Sage Northcutt's 6 feet tall.
Oh yeah, he's not going to be undersized, I don't think.
God, he's a big dude.
And
he's huge.
He fights at 150. Look at this guy.
I know his athleticism and the style that he fights, I think will lend him to being able to fight a guy who might be a little bit bigger.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't know who it is that he's fighting, but I don't know. People should not be giving him shit, and honestly, I don't think people should be giving anyone shit online because it's just the most cowardly thing you could possibly do. But
not to mention the fact that you guys are the people that are shitting on Northcutt. I mean, this guy's in the UFC at age 19.
Yeah.
What accomplishment are you so proud of that you're going to cast shade on that kid?
Right. You know, hating on the guy because he's good-looking.
That's why.
Yeah. That is why. Because he's good-looking and he's absolutely shredded, and he's living a dream at age 19. It's like people just want to fucking tear him down for it, but...
Tell you what, don't people, when you over 40 like me and Dan over here, you see a young, good-looking kid, and you be like, good job. Good for you.
Well played.
Good for you,
well,
man.
Well played, youngster.
You magnificent bastard.
You are, I mean, he's freaking, dude, guy's a stud. Like,
I couldn't agree more. And I just looked it up. The guy he's fighting, his name is Brian Barberina. His nickname is Bam Bam, which is, you know, can't go wrong with that.
Brian Barberina?
Yeah, he's 10-3 as a fighter and 1-1 in the UFC. He beat Joe Ellenberger, Jake's younger brother, and then in his last fight he lost to Chad Laprise, so there you go.
Just the worst. I loved Barberino in Welcome Back, Cotter.
My head's like so weird.
Hey, Mr. Cotter. Mr. Cotter. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Up your nose with a rubber hose, Mr. Cotter.
Now you talk about Juan Epstein, who was a Jew. Juan Epstein, yeah.
How did that happen?
I don't know. Juan Epstein. He had a big ass hair. And there was Washington.
Well, oh, yeah.
It was Horshack. Hey, Mr. Cotter.
That was a quality show.
You know what they were called in that class, Dion? Yeah, I know you know, Dan.
Yeah,
you
I
know
do.
What they were called?
No, what were they
Sweat
called?
Hogs.
Sweat Hogs.
Vinny Barberino, played by John Travolta.
John Travolta.
Oh, back in the day.
But young John
Before
Travolta.
My time.
Listen to this. Listen up. I swear you're going to die. Listen to this. You're going to crack up.
Oh, my God. Mr. Cotter.
Right on.
Oh, my God. Mr. Cotter. No, listen. Like, listen to this. Listen to this, Mr. Cotter. Listen. You're going to die. I swear you're going to crack up.
That's awesome.
So, all right. So, yeah, we got good fights coming up is the bottom line. People should stop giving Sage Northcutt a hard time. Aside from that, you know, fight card kind of blew up and fell apart. Oh, well. You know, but now it's free, which is great.
Yeah, back-to-back free fights on Fox Sports this next two weekends.
You know, I as a fight fan, I appreciate the fact that they're like, you know what? We can't charge for this. You know, like,
yeah.
Wonder Boy's name isn't big enough for them to be like, yeah, he's going to headline the pay-per-view. You know what I mean? So
that's cool.
It is cool that they were willing to do that, you know, and it's like, the UFC takes a lot of shit and a lot of time, rightfully so. But when they do something good like this, you know, they deserve the praise for it, too, so.
Absolutely.
Good for them.
Yeah. Should be a good card regardless. Fights are going to be good or bad. Who knows, you know?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the Stephen Thompson-Johnny Hendricks fight, you know, a lot. I think that's going to be a really good, interesting fight.
I think Stephen Thompson's going to win.
Oof. It's going to be interesting.
Dude, you can't hit that guy.
Yeah. Yeah, Joe Benavidez is also on the card versus Zach Makovsky, which is a pretty interesting fight. I saw that Benavidez is also training with Bang Ludwig, so who knows what that means for Team Alpha Male.
I think Alpha Male's fine. It's just that, you know, when Bang came back, just because Uriah didn't like what he was doing doesn't mean the rest of the guys didn't like what he was doing.
Sure.
You know, it's just kind of weird to me how that they have Martin Kampman.
Yeah.
Why isn't he good enough? You know what I mean?
Yeah, who knows? It's a it's an interesting you know set of circumstances there, but like Benavidez, I mean that guy trains a lot of places. You know, he has a circuit that he travels, and you know he gets different things from different coaches and different teams, and I think really that's one of the better ways to do it. You know, go one place for your stand up, go another place and get your wrestling, and go another place for strength and conditioning, and don't limit yourself to just one place. You know what I mean? Why would you want to do that?
Yeah, that's smart.
And then the last fight on the card that's now a free card that is looks pretty interesting to me is Feijão. Rafael Cavalcante is fighting Ovince St. Preux. So
back to Strikeforce we go.
Absolutely, back to Strikeforce. So yeah, that's probably about it in MMA. I saw that Brendan Schaub has basically been banned from UFC broadcasts.
Oh, what happened? Why did he get banned?
Apparently he just doesn't toe the company line, he said.
They probably banned him because of that haircut.
I saw he went back to brown hair, so that's smart.
But see, I mean, dude, the last time I saw him on the Fox, whatever the hell, the thing with Karen Bryant, the Fox UFC
yeah.
Live or whatever.
Yeah.
He had like a big-ass hipster line through his hair, and he was wearing like really tight pants that were like up to his calves, and I was just like, yo dude, you like 235 pounds.
Yeah, he's got interesting style.
You can't be dressing like Conor McGregor looks stupid.
Yeah, like, you look extra stupid at 235 wearing
yeah,
that stuff.
Hell yeah.
But I guess he said that he was doing, I guess, a show on Fight Pass called UFC Now. He was guesting on and stuff, and he said, "Listen, I'm just not that guy. In a line of horses, I'm a zebra. I'm not doing it. Don't get it twisted. There's no show on UFC Fight Pass bigger than The Fighter and the Kid, so you can take your show and kick rocks."
Yeah, I mean, the UFC did give him his opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, who the fuck would? No offense, but who the hell would know who? Brendan Schaub is if it wasn't for the Ultimate Fighter.
The rest of the backup crew from the Denver Broncos.
Yeah, and the Buffalo Bills or whatever. But yeah, it's like, don't shit on them just because you don't need them anymore, you know?
Whatever.
Yeah, I whatever.
You know what I'm saying? Right there, that's exactly how I feel. Whatever.
Whatever. It's not important.
Whatever. I don't.
Let's get to the stuff that's gonna make Dion happier.
No, I was gonna ask Evan real quick what do you think about Saturday Night Live.
Oh, that's right. Good call.
Saturday Night Live. Big deal. It was a big deal. First MMA fighter to ever host a show. Ronda looked great as far as the show was crap.
It's been crap for years.
I mean, I never watched the show. Because it sucks. Doesn't matter who's hosting. People seem to get that whole thing twisted, like, Ronda's on the show, so it's going to suck. Oh, yeah, that's why it's going to suck?
No.
It's going to suck because Ronda's on the show?
Dude, Saturday Night Live, I think, is funny most times.
Yeah, but you're a different animal, Dan. You got.
That's true.
Like, you got problems. Like,
I'm fucked up.
Like, the shit that Dion and I think are amazing, that the rest of the world think are amazing, like Star Wars, you're like, doesn't do anything for me. So when you say, Saturday Night Live is really funny, we're kind of like, okay.
Fuck you, Dan.
I remember when The Rock was on.
Rock was awesome on it.
Yeah, sure.
Dude, fucking Peyton Manning's the best athlete that's ever been on it. He was so fucking funny on it.
Whoa. Better than the most electrifying man in sports entertainment today?
He was.
Well, I love The Rock, and I thought that The Rock Obama was hilarious.
Yeah. The Rock Obama? I didn't see it.
Yeah. They had the guy, when he got angry, he turned into the Rock Obama. They would have a little graphic, and then the guy who was playing Obama normally would, like, leave, and then the Rock would be there in, like, torn clothes doing his Obama impression.
Well,
it was really funny.
He was great as, not Mango. He was, what was it, Mr. Peepers?
Mr. Peepers, yeah. I agree.
The cast that the Rock had to work with, he had the Chris Kattan... Farrell, Mom, he had like those legit people on it. Now, after watching this past Saturday night, there's one chick that's really funny. I don't know what her name is. Pete Davidson's
hilarious. Yeah. So is McKee, and she's hilarious. I think there's, I don't know. Like you said, I'm a different kind
there's
of animal.
Two
I think
people
that Saturday Night Live is funny.
There's two people on the show that are funny. So anyway, the writers obviously suck. Because some of the shit was just not funny. And I think they played it smart with Ronda, because she's really not a good actress. She's a fighter. And, you know, it was history-making. She's the first fighter to ever do it. Maybe we'll see another one. There's a reason why no fighters have been on it before her. Because Chuck Liddell was really famous, and they're like, yeah, I don't know if we can put him in front of the camera. You ever seen Chuck act? Terrible actor.
Great. Not to mention the fact, sometimes Chuck shows up for performances not on his A game.
No.
Remember that Good Morning Dallas performance?
Yes, I do, and we'll just leave it at that.
Oh, damn, what happened?
You never saw it?
No.
You can see it later.
Oh,
yeah, he fell asleep.
The guy was asking him questions, and he was like...
Oh, no.
He was obviously not in the top form.
Drunk?
Fell asleep. No.
Drunk.
They said he was sick, and he was on, like, Theraflu.
No, that's not like he was on...
But they asked him, like, who do you want to fight? And he said... Vernon White, who didn't even fight anymore, and
yeah, he was a retired fighter. And then he said
fought him like
else.
3 years ago, and then he said Tommy Morrison, the boxer.
Somebody, he was all there at then.
You know Tommy Gunn. You know Tommy Gunn, Rocky Five.
Yeah, Rocky Five.
Tommy Gunn has got some guns. That
damn,
one.
He was messed up then.
He died too.
He was a mess.
He died of AIDS.
Dang, AIDS.
He did die. I think he died.
Did he die?
He got,
I didn't know if he died.
I think he got pectoral implants also.
Well, he definitely got that, but I don't know if that.
But yeah, Chuck was just off his ass and this.
Yeah, it was not a good situation for Chuck.
And the guy interviewing him was no better. He's like, you all right? It's like, yeah.
Yeah, sure. They basically rat-fucked him on that deal.
And he's like, all right, Chuck, well, feel better. May the force be with you. And I'm like, what?
Yeah, feel better, Chuck. He's like, yeah, just... Get off the fucking show. He'll feel a little better.
May the force be with you. Have you seen Mike Tyson's interview with that one guy? Same kind of thing. He's like,
yeah, he fucking
got a fucking scumbag. And the guy's like,
he went off.
Oh shit! It's like, you come off as a nice guy, but then you know, you ask these questions. You're a fucking scumbag.
Yeah, I've never seen that shit.
The guy just fucking. You could tell he was not. He was like scared to death.
You should be.
He asked Tyson about, like, his rape conviction.
It's like, do you think the rape conviction is going to have anything to do with anything? And he's like, you see Mike, just everything changed. Like,
yeah.
you know?
That's bad. You press off Mike Tyson.
Press start. Yeah. Start. And he was just like, yeah, no, yeah, you know what? Fuck you. You're a piece of shit. I was like, uh-oh. This is going bad real fast.
Tiger got out of the cage.
So.
You know what show I did watch this weekend?
Royal Rumble.
The best Royal Rumble in a long time.
All right, calm down.
This is why I don't want to talk about wrestling. This is why I think I need to just let Dion and you talk about wrestling.
You got
I get so mad.
You didn't like the Last Man Standing match. It was
the last part. The whole thing was good. And then there was the very end of the Royal Rumble.
Sure, you didn't like Triple H winning? Nobody likes Triple H winning, but he's going to lose it at WrestleMania, so...
It doesn't bother me that Triple H
to Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns is winning the Triple Threat match.
Or who else? Brock Lesnar?
It's going to be Brock Lesnar versus Ambrose versus Roman Reigns Triple Threat match at Fastlane. But then the winner meets Triple H in the main event. If Roman Reigns is winning that shit...
If Roman Reigns, maybe he has his heel turn that everybody keeps talking about. So, by the way, he gets booed at the... Royal Rumble and cheered the next night on Raw.
It's just the Royal Rumble. We just hate Roman Reigns for some reason.
You mean we? Were you there?
Yeah, I was there in spirit.
We're there.
I was hoping Daniel Bryan would come out, but they fucked me again.
They so screw you. That wrote that article for nothing.
I did. I was like, yeah, I'm gonna put my heart out to the world can see my love for this man. And they was just like, nah, fuck you, Dion.
That's fine. They wrote this. Dion wrote this beautiful article about Daniel Bryan. That's on our website.
It made me teary-eyed.
On CrimsonCanvas.com. CrimsonCanvas Radio. What's our website?
Yeah. CrimsonCanvasRadio.com.
CrimsonCanvasRadio.com. It's like no article's ever written. Dion writes one. Beautiful. It's about Daniel Bryan, the goat face killer. And then this was his dream. It says it's his time to shine. It's his time to come back. Number 30. Time to play the game.
I'm like, No.
Dude, it was. I thought the Royal Rumble event was really good, but man, as far as like surprises and like returning former superstars and stuff, It was kind of lackluster.
All you needed was that one.
Well, it was AJ Styles.
AJ Styles.
God, he was the most over I've seen since Jericho came.
Bro.
He was very over, man.
Like I said,
it's crazy.
Earlier, it's just like a fresh breath of air.
I just
having him there in WWE.
And the pop that Sasha Banks got.
Man.
And then
I don't know why the WWE doesn't, like, do they not hear the pops that people get?
Did you not hear me say, what about Sasha Banks last week, and you both said she had a knee injury?
She was.
She does. That's why she didn't wrestle. She just
wrestled
came out
the next night.
But she was out a couple weeks before tonight, or last night.
Yeah, she had been injured with a knee injury.
Come on. We know these things.
Come on.
Come on.
Like, I think she was as injured as Roman Reigns was in the Royal Rumble.
That was so dumb. He's not getting any sympathy from the fans. If he just took that ass whooping and was in the ring getting his ass whooped for an hour, then maybe. But like,
or at least,
to the back,
if you're going to go to the back, come back with your ribs taped and selling the injury.
You are not lying, Dan.
Sprinted.
Could you?
He sprinted back and came back like nothing ever happened. Like, what the fuck were you doing back there? Just playing Xbox?
You saw how Dean Ambrose and Kevin Owens entered the Royal Rumble, like limping to the ring, like because they just was in a war with each other in that Last Man Standing match, and that's how you make wrestling believable.
You could have built such a great storyline on the Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, and they just he just did nothing with it the next night.
Maybe it was just having Zayn get his revenge from getting injured by Kevin Owens.
Yeah, it's
by throwing him out of the ring. That's not revenge. Kevin Owens killed him.
But you're taking away his chance to be the WWE heavyweight
for one night.
Yeah,
one night.
He'll be back. They're gonna fight. Like they're destined to do this forever. They said.
I mean, come on. How are you not gonna bring Sami Zayn up after?
He still has to get the NXT title back to be a 2-time NXT championship. And it just announced that
that's the real reason why they're not doing anything with him and Kevin Owens is because he's still very much in the mix in NXT.
It's dumb.
They
it's
have
dumb.
I agree. I want to see Kevin Owens.
NXT, you know what they... Okay.
You know Nakamura's going down there.
You know what they need to do. They need to make an invasion angle.
Ooh.
Ooh.
With Triple H leading NXT?
Oh, my God. Bayley? Bailey stepping up to to Charlotte, you know, she already beat Sasha Banks because we know Sasha's going to win the Royal at WrestleMania, right?
She better.
And I mean,
it'd be nice to see like Finn come up with the Bullet Club. I mean, the Balor Club. It'd be cool to see Baron Corbin come up, but I mean, what happens? You do that, and then what happens with NXT?
You could have guys invading their show. I mean. Wouldn't that be exciting? Apparently, Kevin Owens made an appearance last week at NXT, or 2 weeks ago, or something, and the crowd lost their fucking minds.
Kevin Owens.
But you just don't expect main roster guys to come and show up there. And they do, and it's special. These are things, this is what drives me absolutely bananas about it, is that there are so many things that they can make special happen, and they just never do them.
They can do that. They just have to wait until the day after WrestleMania to. Because that's when all the new storylines and all the. It's like a new.
The problem with NXT is that they book it fucking so far out. I mean, they're taping matches now from March. I mean, so basically, all their storylines and shit are set, locked in stone for 2 months.
Are you excited about Austin Aries being a part of NXT?
I think he's cool. I like him, but, you know, it's... I'm not going to go fucking crazy over it,
There's a lot of talent in WWE right now. A lot of talent. Even with the guys out, when they come back, it's just... The ball is in their corner. The ball is in the corner.
Their hands, the ball is in their court.
Some shit.
His ball. He has...
Mixing up your metaphors.
The balls are in his hands.
I was on a good... Damn it, you fucked up.
He's got the whole ball in his hand.
Fucked my shit up.
I didn't do it. His balls are in his hands.
There's a lot of opportunity out there for them to do a lot of good stuff with their roster but they're, you know, they're gonna fuck it up.
And we still don't have Cesaro, Randy Orton, who's dope.
Still dope.
Whatever.
See, Dan, people that listen to this show are gonna know like that Dan Rose has some problems.
He's a hater.
I'm not a hater. I just, you know, I mean, what the fuck? So you like some people and you don't like other people. Are you a hater because you don't like fucking
Yeah, but you don't like
Brooke?
Anybody, though.
I do too.
Dana Brooke is a rookie. She had a chance to be all right, but right now she's just not good.
She just stinks.
We're not hating on her. We're just calling her.
This is a fact.
That's hate. That's hate. I hope you say she stinks.
She's still young. She still has a lot of chance to get better, but as of right now, her rate is low.
Shut up. Fuck all you guys.
See, I'm telling you, the abrasiveness is coming all from Dan Rose.
Like, Eva Marie, she's terrible, but if she actually cared about wrestling, which she doesn't.
Stop.
But she doesn't.
She's not good.
Yeah.
She's never
going to
be good.
Well, you got to have a.
Speaking of Sammy, just to switch it up for a second, I heard that the taping's tonight. I don't know if you guys want spoilers.
Don't spoil it.
I won't tell you what. I won't give you the winner or anything like that. But tonight they had a 2 out of 3 falls match with Samoa Joe and Sami Zayn. And they said it went just about an hour, and it was one of the best matches in the history of NXT. So
that's
pretty
the
exciting.
Whole show. But that has to be – is that tonight or is that down the road?
No, it was taped tonight. So it'll happen somewhere probably – they're saying the March 9th is when it's hit the air. Hey, did you guys watch the Legends with JBL with
I
the Road
Dogg? I watched
a
little bit of it.
That was interesting. They announced his next one is with Ron Simmons.
That should be – here, say damn for an hour. Those interviews are too. The hour ones are too long, and JBL kind of seen him on Raw for that long. You don't want to hear him talk.
You don't want to hear him talk.
But
I thought the interview he did though was really good with Road Dogg.
Tell me about your most awesome memory.
Yeah.
Why do you gotta say awesome every time? Every like 10 times a show. Awesome.
So what else did you like from the War Rumble? Sure. You like the New Day match with the Usos?
No.
I thought it was...
I'm just tired of seeing those guys fucking work the same match over and over and over and over and over.
Yeah, that's true.
But I love the New Day. I thought that the New Day with The Rock this week was great.
Do you like Charlotte versus Becky Lynch?
Come on. You know the answer to that.
I thought it was a good match, and then having Sasha come back was awesome.
I loved Sasha coming out.
Kalisto,
I thought that was great.
Del Rio.
Kind of had some botches, but I was happy to Kalisto
right?
get the belt.
So two, the two-time United States champion now.
Yeah, I saw that. Nakamura is going to wrestle Sami Zayn at the NXT Takeover Dallas show. Yep.
Nakamura has to win, right?
I sure hope so. It's going to be a great match, though. Those two.
That's awesome.
Yeah, but yeah, I thought that the Last Man Standing match for the with Ambrose and Owens was pretty good.
That was a fantastic match.
It was really good. He just doesn't.
You don't like Dean Ambrose.
It's not like I don't like him. It's just push Kevin Owens. The guy just has so much of the it factor. Like, he needs to be up there. You know what I mean?
I agree completely. I mean, Dean Ambrose is a decent in-ring guy. I hate his facial expressions and his I'm crazy thing. And his hair is just straight bananas. But, I mean, Kevin Owens is more warranted of a push,
He's
I think.
He's beaten him 3 times the last 3 pay-per-views. Survivor Series, TLC, and now the Rumble. It's crazy.
You know what the other thing about the Rumble match? We were talking about how Reigns completely no-sold the injury. Yeah. You know the other thing that was completely stupid, in my opinion? So Brock Lesnar eliminates the Wyatt brothers.
I forgot about that. Thanks for bringing that up.
And then the Wyatt brothers come back in and eliminate Lesnar. It's like, okay, well, I didn't know you could do that, but now that you can... Why the fuck wouldn't the Wyatt brothers just stay out there, eliminate everyone else, and give Bray the world championship?
Right?
Why would they leave? If you can get eliminated, stay out there and eliminate other people.
No disqualifications. You just got to be the last man standing.
Why would you not just stay out there?
Which would be a great... If you were really thinking about, like, if wrestling was real, you would do that, obviously. But
it's just one of those things that makes people think, like, well, hold on. You know, I understand that it's not real, it's predetermined, but that just is fucking senseless.
Hey, tell me why Brock this... Got eliminated and went to the back.
That's Brock Lesnar does that.
Are you not mad that you just got fucked over for the championship?
That you just, guys that weren't in the match, like, everyone was eliminated. Didn't come back the next night on Raw and lose your mind?
Yeah, it's that's the stuff that drives me crazy. But there was no time for that because you had to give The Rock a 40-minute segment to come out.
It was great to see The Rock, but that went so long.
That's the thing. You're like, here we go again. The same shit as last time, you know?
It should have just started with him in the ring and then the New Day coming out. All that stuff in the back with Lana and Lana or whatever, and Rusev, and then The Miz and Pat Patterson. And
yeah, he got a lot of – he got segment with Lana.
Yeah. People said it was sexist.
Sexist, and, like, he hadn't evolved at all, because it's like, it's not – you building up all these chicks for the Divas Revolution, and then, like, The Rock comes and just talks about her being a whore.
Yeah, that's the thing that has always bothered me about The Rock and his persona. It's the whole fucking playing up the people's fucking strudel and the pancake stuff. And I mean, basically just, that's what he did. He just basically came in and called her a whore and said, yeah, remember I fucked you. Remember that?
He didn't say, he said, like, they had a great time. They talked.
They did the rush. They did
the
rush.
He said that I gave you the Wisconsin wheelbarrow and the something mustache ride.
Russian wheelbarrow.
Wisconsin wheelbarrow.
Wisconsin wheelbarrow.
It was, but yeah, he was like the Wisconsin wheelbarrow, the fucking something mustache ride or whatever. Basically,
awesome.
He doesn't know how to work the fucking PG era at all.
He called
the Big Show thing was funny though.
You all right?
That was.
That should be.
Yeah, you're all right.
Yeah, he has a personality. There's no one like him.
15 minutes is fine. 30 minutes, too much.
The Goosebumps thing, family. You know that was dumb. Like,
yeah.
Dude, it's 2016. You can evolve a little bit.
And how long did he wait before he sit between finally The Rock has come and then home? It was like fucking 50 seconds.
He's trying to sell.
It's like, dude, you're not home. If you're not home, you're a guest in their house. It's true. I mean, I love The Rock. I think he's funny as hell. But it's like, and I know that people are going to benefit from him coming back for WrestleMania. It's going to get more attention. God damn it, you know. I don't like guys who are not I don't like guys who are not on the, you know, active roster taking that much show.
Hey, but they need that boost of ratings and having viewers on the product, because it's been stale lately.
Let's get off The Rock for a second and talk about the AJ Styles Y2J.
Are you sure you don't want to talk about llama penis? Because that was so funny.
That wasn't funny at all.
God damn.
I'm a man. I'm all man.
That's what I'm talking about. Who says llama penis? And who laughs at that?
The Rock's, the Rock shtick is not, it's old. It's getting more and more old. He said something else, too, that I thought wasn't really funny at all, that I don't remember what it was now, but it was like one of those things where
we're
it was
going
like,
off script.
Yeah, what the fuck was that? Why give those goons airtime?
And why the fact that they were on one side of the ring, they were on the side that the camera was facing the whole time, and then when The Rock came out, they were suddenly moved to the opposite side where family members are?
Yeah, I don't know. It's just silly to me. It's like, man, the weed in Miami must be good tonight. It's like, dude, this is a PG show.
Who is this a Hulk Hogan person that they mentioned?
Yeah, it's not like he's in the Hall of Fame.
Like, who is that guy?
Yeah, why are they talking about Hulk? I didn't know his band had been lifted.
Right?
It's just, I don't know. The Rock is The Rock. He's funny. He makes me laugh a lot of the stuff he does. But it's like a little bit goes a long way sometimes.
But another thing that I really enjoyed from Raw was the AJ Styles-Chris Jericho match.
Yeah, I did too. I love Jericho. I think he's one of the best.
Tell me how Chris Jericho can be fat and in shape at the
same time. DDP yoga.
Dude, is it just me, or does it look like Chris Jericho had some fucking weird pectoral?
He's had that for a little while.
He's
now.
Had that for a long time, but it's turning more into Kofi's chest. Like, they keep separating. His nipples stay in the same place, though. That's weird.
You could pour two bottles of wine in that guy's chest.
It's weird looking, and then he walks so like straight.
Yeah,
and he's like got abs, but he's fat. Like. He's just weird looking now.
The chest thing is what makes me what bothers me the most about him. It's just a weird kind of a, I don't know what the hell it is.
It's like someone took the inner part of both of his pec muscles and just cut them out.
He's like the Trey Telemann of WWE.
He's got an entire pec taken out.
How could this have happened?
Have you ever seen Trey Telemann with one pec?
No.
Have you ever seen anybody with one pec?
No.
It's pretty weird.
And then, like, if you look at Chris Jericho's Men's Fitness cover, his chest looks normal.
Photoshop.
Yeah, exactly. Hold on. Ready? Here's ready for the reaction. This is a man with one pectoral muscle.
Did he get in a fight with the Hulk?
No, he just got it taken out
at
some point.
Did he have, like, cancer or something? Or
He was born without a pectoral muscle.
It's just, and it's weird, but...
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, exactly, whatever.
Yeah. I don't know, man. It's... Chris Jericho's chest has gone horribly fucking wrong.
That being said...
The word would be awry. A-W-R-Y. It's a great Wordsworth Friends word. Awry. That's what his chest has done. It's gone awry.
Man, I really like AJ Styles. I think he's just awesome.
Dude, I admire Dion for trying to keep the train on the tracks right now.
I'm just saying, like, the thing about AJ Styles is, like, he just... Maybe if he shaved his head, he'd have more of that look.
Well, he needs to be different. That's why people don't like him more, that he's not.
I mean, Daniel Bryan has a look.
His look is... At least he has long hair. At least his hair is like... It looks like a samurai kind of now.
I mean, his hair, the beard, whatever. I mean, whatever. It works for him, you know? That's his look. You don't have to be beautiful. I mean, shit, look at Kane. His face is... Attractive man, Mr. Glenn Jacobs. But something about AJ Styles is just... Like, I don't know what it is. Like, he's just...
He has that accent, too. Have you heard him talk before?
Yeah.
Where is AJ Styles from?
He says he's from Georgia, but he sounds like he's from...
Canada. Hey, buddy! I'm very happy to be at the WWE. That's my Canadian accent done by the South Park people.
First thing I thought of was Terrence and Phillips.
First thing I saw was Terrence and Phillips, buddy.
Still, one of my favorite episodes is the I'm Not Your Friend, Buddy.
I'm Not Your Friend, Buddy. I'm Not Your Buddy, Guy.
I'm Not Your Guy, Pal.
I'm Not Your Pal, Friend.
He's Not Your Friend, Guy. That is pretty good.
So, all right, anything else we got to go over here?
I still feel sorry for Tyler Breeze. Last week, Dion said that it looked like he was in the doghouse for asking to leave a show early. I guess on the SmackDown tapings, he lost the dark match, squash style, to Mark Henry.
Oh, no.
That's going to make Triple H.
Yeah, so it looks like the slowdown continues for Tyler Breeze after being a non-factor in the Rumble the next night on Raw. He didn't do much.
Dark match with Mark Henry and lost. Nobody loses to Mark Henry.
It's best to stay in NXT.
Yeah, all those guys who can't wait to get up to WWE, man. It's like, careful what you wish for.
Well, I mean, Rollins came up. You know, Roman Reigns came up. They became champions.
They
Ambrose came up.
Together as the Shield.
They came up together as the Shield.
Well, who else? I mean, Sasha...
Kevin Owens is like, who's come up by themselves?
Sasha Banks?
Well, she didn't really come up by herself. She came up and with, like, Charlotte and Becky Lynch, and they were all immediately thrown on different little three-person teams. Bray Wyatt was thrown into the Wyatt family.
I just can't wait for Elias Samson to go to the main roster, because he...
You like him?
No.
He's so bald, boring.
He's terrible. What a lousy gimmick. What a lousy... Yeah. What the hell were they thinking?
Whatever. Sometimes they just make some dumbass moves, and this is one of them.
All we know is he's some sort of drifter.
Really?
What they did with Edge. All we know is that he's some sort of tortured soul.
Yeah. Remember his little vignette that he had before he got...
He'd always be running down the street screaming.
That's so funny.
Like, that's what you really... He's Adam Copeland... And what he's become now, and from what they tried booking him as in his first match, and finally we're going to get a look at this tortured soul. He's going to fight against Savio Vega, and he breaks Savio Vega's neck.
Yeah. Doing that, was that move off the rope?
Jumped over the rope, and then, like, busted his neck.
Out for the season.
Out for the season.
That's right. Yeah. That was the last we saw of Savio Vega. Until we got WWE Network and we watched it again.
WWE Network might be one of the greatest things ever.
I was watching the Rumble the other night from 1998. Austin came out and stunned everybody.
When his music hits and everybody was looking at the ramp to see him come out, but he came from behind.
Mark Mero, he's warming up his boxing arm. Like, he's the first one Austin throws out.
It's so amazing because everybody is in the ring just going at each other and you hear the glass break. And then everybody starts fighting.
They stop. Look to the entrance, and he comes from the back, stuns everybody. That was the time when Goldust was with Luna, and he was, like, way over the edge. Like,
the artist formerly known
and
as
And then
Goldust.
This past Raw, he had his Tourette's again. Did you notice that, Dan?
I did.
I was like,
I did.
Uh-oh.
Is this 2003 again?
They never...
They're going to put him with R-Truth.
They're not going to bring this back, are they? Like, dude, when R-Truth came out, set up the ladder.
Oh, at the Rumble? That was the greatest. He came out all
sick. Do you like that?
He was going to get this fucking briefcase on.
Did I like that? Yes. Yeah. I laughed my ass off, Dan.
Fucking great right now.
Oh, my God.
You didn't like that?
No, I thought it was the dumbest thing in the world.
That's R-Truth's little thing now.
I don't like
when
R-Truth.
Like, they were doing the Money in the Bank thing last summer.
And he came out and said, my bad.
And he was like, he's like, I conquer my fear of spiders and ladders. This Sunday, I'm going to go all the way to the top of the ladder and get the Money in the Bank briefcase. And everybody was like, you're not even in the match, R-Truth.
I'm not. My bad. My bad, Atlanta.
That's so great.
All right, so there's our WWE and UFC stuff, ladies and gentlemen. Stick around because we're going to have UFC fighter Anthony Berchak on next. We're going to talk about some movies straight out of Compton, kids and their craziness, and all kinds of other good stuff. So don't go anywhere. Stick around. We'll be right back. Guys, welcome back to the Crimson Canvas Podcast. Evan Showman, Deion Harrison, my man Dan Rose over there. And on the air right now, we have UFC superstar, Mr. Anthony Berchak. Berchak, what is
going
on? Man, you got to tell me.
I don't know about superstar, man. Especially when I can't fight my own two-year-old to find the damn phone to do this interview.
Yeah, why don't you give us a little insight as to what happened? He was Anthony was supposed to come on about an hour ago. He just sent me the phone with a little emoticon of a crying gremlin kind of thing, like a little sad face. Like, what do I do? My son had my phone. Like, what happened?
Wow, man! So Jet Berchak, he loves to watch kids YouTube, and he watches the Avengers on my phone, and I did that to occupy him so that I could buy myself some time later. And when I put him down for a nap, he had hid the phone and kind of slid it between the couch. And then I didn't want to wake him up and be like, hey, where's the phone, bud? So, that's happened there. And I felt a little vibrating when I was sitting on the couch, lifted it up, and I saw I missed like 32 different calls from people. So I was bummed out.
Now, you knew we were calling. Were you kind of like, wow, I guess they forgot about me?
No, I was like, well, I mean, because I don't ever take my phone off of ring. It's always on vibrate. It's always on vibrate. So I was like, I don't know where this thing could be. So my Mercedes is away picking up one of the other kids at school, so it's not like I'd be like, hey, call my phone over and over again so I could figure out where this thing's at. So I was like, well, I'll text Evan when I find it, and I'm sure he'll understand.
Yeah, I mean, the show will go on, and we will accommodate you guys. I'm actually, Mercedes just hit me up because I sent her a message on Facebook, and I was like, so could you tell your could you tell your goofball of a man to pick up his damn phone? And she just texted me back and said, he probably laid down.
No, yeah, I put the kid down. I put the kid down, like I said, try to bide myself a little bit of time and bit me in the ass.
I like it, though, Anthony, because it's the first time that we're late for something that's not my fault. So I like it. Keep up the good work.
I know. I
will.
I mean, look, Deion here, look, don't take this as racism, people, but look, Anthony knows as much as anyone. Like, if a Brazilian tells you they're going to train at 3 o'clock, what time will they come?
Friday.
At 4 o'clock.
Friday or Saturday, 2 days later, right? That's Brazilian time. Dion here is of, as Dan would say, African-American persuasion. And
that didn't take long.
And Dion, he's always late.
I give myself, because I'm black, I'm like, okay, I got a grace period to get there. He won't be too mad if I'm too late, because he already knows, you know, I'm black. So
that's why I was thinking, Burchak, Anthony, you might have some black in you, I'm assuming.
Yeah, I had my minority watch on, you know what I mean? I could understand that.
That's what I'm talking about.
He gets very excited. Dion, oh, it's funny, because I'm very prompt, I'm always on time, and then I got Dion. And I got Dan, and Dan's either, like, in traffic or, like, oh, my cell phone. It's just all you guys come up with these bullshit excuses that are just so outrageous. Like, my son hid my phone. My son hid my phone in the couch. Dan's like, oh,
hey,
traffic was a...
That's legitimate. If I was like, oh, yeah, no, fuck, I set my interview alarm on, and for whatever time, it just didn't go off.
Yeah. I mean, I say I'm always stuck in traffic. The truth is, it's better than saying I fell asleep in the chair watching television, so.
You're a liar.
That's the truth, I was like, hey, look, I fell asleep, but I don't know what you want to say.
I mean, that's all I need to hear. If y'all say, yeah, I fell, oh, damn, my bad, I fell asleep, because that's exactly what I'd say. Say that you in traffic, and you really mean, well, the porn had about 35 more minutes to go, so.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, let's be honest. I have my priorities.
He sounded like he was about to finish, but he just kept going.
I was like, come.
I can't control other people's stamina.
So you got to wait for the money shot, so.
Otherwise, what are we doing with our lives?
You can't cut out early. Now, hey, last night, Anthony, we were talking a little bit, and you had just said you watched Straight Outta Compton, and I have not seen it. Dion, have you seen it?
Not yet. I need to get on it, though.
Hey, you lived
no.
it. Dan, have you seen it?
I've seen it, yeah.
Okay, well, Anthony says it was amazing.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Now, Anthony, hit me with why it was amazing, because I was, like I said, I'm 42. I was alive at that time. I was living in an affluent white neighborhood where, like, really rich white kids were like, Straight Outta Compton, you know, like, that shit was happening.
Well, when you told me that, when I read your text message, I was like, man, that's funny, because that's the point in the movie where Paul Giamatti asks Eazy-E, he's like, so what does NWA stand for? No whites allowed? And he's like, nah, you know. And so I was like, man, I was like, I just want to text this to him, or at least, like, film this little 10-second clip and send this to him. But, I think it's a great movie because it, at the time, it was, like, transcendent of what was going on. You know, they show the Rodney King incident, but for me, it's just as a music head, you know what I mean? Like, I love those tracks, and I love, like, As soon as I saw the movie the next day, I was in the gym. I was like, I'm on Pandora, like Eazy-E Radio. We're jamming this morning, you know. So the actors did a great job. I think Ice Cube's son looks more like Ice Cube ever did. So it was pretty cool.
Ice Cube's son, man, was so good. He unbelievable resemblance to his dad, and just the way he, like, his persona, his actions, the way he spoke, everything. It was like being in a time machine and watching NWA again from, you know, back in the day.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I mean, the way that they tied, you know, like, I mean, they even hit on, oh, I'm writing this, you know, this movie called Friday, you know, and how are you going to get fired on the day off? And then, you know, leading into, you know, the multi-billion-dollar deal that, you know, that Dr. Dre did with the Beats headphones. Like, they touch on all these little things. You know, you see Tupac in the studio, you see, you know, Bum Thugs, and it's like, man, at this time was like a turning point for music. So it was like, I just think it's a great movie for, you know, for a multitude of reasons.
I agree completely. Man, if it's as close on everything as it was that everyone says it was, Suge Knight is an absolute maniac.
Oh, yeah. If that shit's real, that's...
Scariest
man
in the world.
That dude's nuts.
Fuck, just crazy nuts, man.
Well, I haven't even seen the movie. Oh, that dude's a maniac. I mean,
when he ran over that guy,
it was like, oh,
twice.
No, I didn't see
that. That was on the set of the movie too, I guess.
Oh, was it?
Yeah,
that was during the filming of Straight Outta Compton.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Have you seen the video, Anthony, of him running the guy over?
No, I haven't seen that, but I mean, when he pistol whips that dude in the movie, you know, and that's kind of the actor, or that's kind of the, you know, the person that they're trying to, you know, portray. It's like, you go off for, you know, dumb shit like a parking space. That's, you know, that's highly volatile, highly insane.
And just like the dogs and the people fighting and everything in the office and the dude in his underwear under the pool table, it's like, yeah, that is a crazy, crazy environment.
Oh, yeah. I couldn't imagine. I mean, I've known, you know, I do talks with, at-risk youth, and I go to the Tucson Justice Courts and the juvenile courts, and I talk to these kids, you know, that, you know, live this life on the street, and I'm like, man, like, you know, they're asking me, oh, well, what have you ever been addicted to, or what's the, you know, the dirtiest shit you've ever seen? It's like, I don't want to tell you guys, because y'all are fucking 15, you know, but in reality, their reality is already worse than anything I could ever tell them. You know what I mean? Like, they've seen killings. They've seen their cousin get shot right in front of them, or, you know, they've stabbed their, you know, their best friend over some bullshit, you know, money or drugs or whatever. So it's like, seeing that and then seeing of, you know, just trying to, that's in Tucson, you know what I mean? People don't realize Tucson's probably one of the number two drug spots in all of America. But if you get, like, really think about, like, Compton being the way it was in the 80s and stuff, and how violent it was with gangs, I mean, you know, there's still no comparison.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I mean, do you remember, you know, Anthony, you're young. Dion, you were probably young. Do you guys remember where you were when OJ was driving and when Rodney King, do you know where you were?
That shit was on my birthday. I remember it like it was yesterday. I was sitting there on my birthday and had a bunch of people over, and pretty much all focus was not on me, and I didn't like that at all.
I was going to say, what a bummer. That's like having 9/11 as your birthday. You're like,
I know.
People
like, that
have 9/11 as
we can never celebrate.
I remember both of those. I remember, you know, my freshman year in high school, 9/11 happened, and then I remember, I think it was probably like fourth, fifth grade that OJ happened, you know, and I remember seeing both of these things on TV, and it's just like, yeah, it's surreal moments when you look back, you know, as a 30-year-old guy now with, you know, kids, and I'm just like, man, I saw that shit happen on TV. You know, I remember the Bronco driving and the live coverage, and I went to school, the Bronco was driving, it seemed like I came home from school, the Bronco was still driving, and I was like, when's he going to fucking stop for gas?
That Bronco gets good mileage.
Nobody knew who Al Cowlings was until the OJ thing.
Yeah, no shit. Then now no one still knows who he is, really.
Cowlings is, except he drove the Bronco.
Yeah.
How you feeling about Cuba Gooding Jr. playing O.J. Simpson in The People versus O.J. Simpson?
I don't know, man. I think they could have picked someone different, because I still see him as what's his name from...
Trey?
show me the money, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
oh.
So is that the same
Jerry
football
Maguire.
Player, you know what I mean, from Jerry Maguire? Like, I don't know.
I see him as Trey from Boys in the Hood.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I see him as, in this role at least, you know, see him as the football player from Jerry Maguire.
It's hard because he's got Rod Tidwell. But it's hard because...
Rod Tidwell, that's awesome.
Yeah, of course.
Rod Tidwell, that's the name.
His son's name was Tyson, but who's counting? Ari Spears was his brother.
Ari Spears, man, he's so funny.
But, I mean, like, yeah, Cuba, yeah, he's a good actor, but he's got that kind of higher voice thing. You know what? OJ is really, like, a criminal with a deep-ass voice, you know? So, I don't know how they landed on Cuba for that part, but the rest of the casting looks pretty dope.
Yeah.
Because we were all watching that trial at that time.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't even think of, you know, a good prominent actor to play, you know, to play him. What are you going to put, fucking swole up Denzel? And you know what I mean? Like, I can't even think of anybody that you would you would cast for that.
Yeah, I don't know who you would play him either.
Well, I honestly, I think that Anthony just said it. Just swole up Denzel would be exactly who would play it, but he's not going to take a television role.
Yeah, I'm gonna say that's the other side of the coin. Is this isn't like a major motion picture? It's a is it a miniseries
David
or what?
David Schwimmer is in it. Ross from Friends is Kim Kardashian's father.
Oh, seriously?
God. He is. It looks great, though.
He's Robert Kardashian?
He's Robert Kardashian.
And then John Travolta is Shapiro, I think, right?
Crazy, because Shapiro's, I don't know. I mean, it's just, but they all look pretty decent. It's just, I mean, how, y'all know how it turns out.
Yeah.
You know, it's not
maybe
like,
in this one, OJ did it.
He did do it.
Yeah. Hey.
That'd be a twist,
off.
Huh?
Ta-da! Like one of those?
Yeah, like, hey, did it.
Yeah.
I'm going to change my belief on this one. Yeah, fuck it. I did it.
You know, you get to those moments in life, Anthony, where, like, my son, he just turned 14 on Monday, and, you know, this show, The People versus O.J. Simpson, is coming out, and he's like, he asks questions like, well, what was it like at that time? Like, when O.J. Simpson, like, how did he get off if he was so guilty? If he was a murderer, why did he get off? And I was like, well, there's these other guys that basically what happened was the attorneys focused the entire trial on these cops who were, like, caught on film dropping N-bombs 30 years earlier or something like that. I mean,
yeah.
And the mind of a child, they just don't, he's like, well, what are you talking about? Like, that doesn't make sense. What about him murdering her? Why is that not?
You're like, exactly. I try to teach my kids about what the Romans used to do with bread and circuses and how they gave – my brother's a history major from college, and I used to love – Greek and Roman mythology was probably my favorite in college. So I would tell them, you know, the Roman government – would, no matter what was going on at the time that the people thought was wrong, the government would immediately feed its people with bread and then give them, you know, 84 days of games, which is circuses. I said, so if the people were fed and entertained, they didn't give a shit about what was actually going on, you know, in society. And I tell them that till this day. Like, when you hear about a mass shooting or you hear about, you know, some crazy shit going on, I'm like, okay, that's going on. That happened. But I said, something got, like, a law got passed. A bill got nullified. Something else happened behind the scenes. I said, you know, just pay attention. A couple weeks from now, you'll notice, you know, so-and-so didn't sign this, you know, document or, you know, and they're like, hey, Dad, remember the other day when, you know, you said something about this, you know, what's going on in the Middle East and everyone was paying attention over there? My 16-year-old was like, this, they had a town meeting in such and such a town and no one showed up for it because no one knew about it. I'm like, oh, there you go. So when you think about with that, trying to equate that to a kid, it's like, you know, I don't even know how to do that. It's like, you know, if mom and dad are arguing and I give you a bunch of candy and I put you in front of the movie, that's pretty much the exact same thing of, you know, you're ignoring the problem, but me and her are still kind of arguing. It's hard to talk to a kid like that.
Right? Yeah, I know. It is. It's hard to I don't know. There are a lot of things that are hard to talk to your kid about. I was telling Dion last night after our basketball game, like, have you had to have the sex talk with your kids yet?
Me?
Yeah, you.
Yeah, I have a fucking 16-year-old daughter and a 13-year-old daughter.
Oh,
and
no.
And I, dude, yeah, well, I already had to deal with some social media shit. I already had to deal with, you know, some cats on the wrestling team and a couple of boys, you know, so I was like, I squashed that shit immediately, and we had to have the talk, you know, of, you know, my daughter's like, she's real goofy in eighth grade, where these other girls have already got boyfriends, and you know, they're doing shit, and kissing, and you know, oh, so-and-so is rumored to have had sex with so-and-so, and I'm like, okay, well, you know, you just keep fucking worrying about SpongeBob and what the hell has happening to Patrick under this rock right here. You know what I mean? Like, so in that sense, she was kind of desensitized. So that way, when she got to high school, all these girls who have already had boyfriends and you know, had intimate time, you know, with a boy, at least kissing or something, she's trying to play catch up on it, and it's coming all at once. You know what I mean? So I'm like, no. We gotta like one step at a time. You know, and that was probably one of the hardest things was having that talk with her about, you don't even realize this, but girls were doing shit that you're not doing now when they were in seventh grade.
Right. I mean, we say that, but like, I mean, I was doing terrible things to 15-year-old girls when I was a senior in high school. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, like.
But and that's what I was trying to tell her. I said, there's going to be, you know, you're seeking so much attention so fast, it's going to come back and bite you in the ass. You know, and we had a little incident happen that, you know, me and mom ended up having to squash, and it was just one of those incidents where I'm like, you know, you're going to learn a very valuable lesson through this. She's been great ever since that happened, so I'm glad she at least learned from her lesson. And, you know, I'm thinking we're going to have to deal with the same thing with a 13-year-old here soon, because she's 13 going on 21, whereas my 17-year-old is going 17 going on, you know, 14, 13. She's still worried about cartoons and shit. So my young daughter is probably going to be the real problem, and I'm not looking forward to that one.
Just, and I tell them, like, new dads and all that. And for some reason, every guy I know has girls, you know, except for me. I have a boy. I have one boy. I hit it with one bullseye, and I went, no more. I'm done. I'm not going to risk it, you know. I'm not, like, I'm done. Perfect. Got a boy. I could handle this. I could just basically take all of my errors and delete them from the equation and be a good dad and no problem. You know, but then, like, when I have buddies that have kids that are 15, 16-year-old girls, and I'm just like, dude, this is such a shitty time for you, huh? And they're just like,
yeah, let me just buy you something. What do you need? I know you need something to comfort you.
Like, just the misery that fathers have, and mothers, when their daughters are somewhere between 13 and 57 years old, where they just can't get their shit together, and you're like, dude, what, like, oh my God, I feel so... My friends losing their hair, going gray, quaff on my head, you know, because I got a boy. You know, his biggest thing is like playing online video games right now. So like, I'm loving this, man. I like, believe me, man. I feel for you. And if you ever lose a fight again, I'm totally gonna blame it on your daughters.
Oh no, you know what? And that's let me just clarify something real quick. These two, my daughters, like they're my stepdaughters. But they are more my daughters than anything, than anything could be. Because one, their dads are fucking, you know, they're everything to those girls, but at the end of the day, they're loser ass fucking dudes, you know what I mean? So, and they don't give their daughters any structure or any try to, you know, give them to aspire to be anything greater than just what they are, you know? So I'm like, dude, I'm trying to show you guys how to chase your dream down. I'm trying to show you that I had, you know, shitty times up until about 5 years ago when, you know, my big break happened. I got into the MFC and then I got into the USC, and I said, but it was a lot of getting kicked while I was down type of shit. You know, I said, so you got to understand, you know, this. So, you know, they haven't hit me with that you're not my dad shit or blah, 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 don't tell me that, because they know that I've already done more and tried to do more than their dads could be. And their dads are in their lives every day. Their dads just don't, they're not, I mean, how do I say it? They're not like present in their lives. You know what I mean? One over coddles way too much and just gives her everything she wants and just to, you know, kind of like pacify her. So he doesn't really have to deal with her. Like it's like he lives in Chandler, Arizona, which is an hour and a half away. He comes down the weekend that he has her, and they live in a hotel the whole time they're here, so no one picks up after her. Or, sorry, all the maids pick up after her. She never has to do dishes. You know, she doesn't have a real sense of reality. She's, like, living in a mansion every week, you know, because they stay at, like, the, you know, the JW Marriott or the Sheraton Four Points. You know what I mean? Like, so I'm like, you guys, you don't understand. When you come home, you got to clean up your dishes. There's not a maid that's going to come through. And when you leave the hotel room and put fucking fresh towels on your bed and redo your bed for you, I said, that's why you have to have responsibility and structure and understand that this is what your dad is doing for you is not it's not fun. It's fun, but it's not reality. You know, so, but those girls, man, they wear my, I don't know if you guys saw, this super cool comic artist from Guam, did a comic book, cover rendering of me, and, we put it on hoodies, and I have these two little, you know, blonde hair, blue eyed white girls going to school with this Mexican guy on their shirt, you know, and like, that's my dad, that's my daddy, so, that warms my heart more than anything, man, you know?
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, because that's a real big deal, you know? Because at least...
Yeah, I mean, it's a big deal to me, you know, because, like I said, I mean, every father to their daughter is Superman, you know what I mean? But I have a problem with these dads because they're not doing anything to tell their daughters to go up above and beyond, you know, where they're at in life, you know?
Right.
Like, One's a manager at a furniture store, and he's like, yeah, if you want to be a manager at a furniture store, you could definitely do that. I'm like, don't fucking do that, please. Ever.
If you reach for the stars and give it everything you got, you could be a manager of a furniture store, too.
You know, you too can be an American Home Furnishings manager. You know, and I'm like, don't fucking do that. Please don't. You know, it's like, do something more. That's why I'm asking you to finish your homework. That's why I'm telling you to go to wrestling practice every day and give it your all. Because the older one wrestles. She's pretty good, you know, for a chick. And, you know, she gets her ass beat every day by the boys. And I'm like, you don't understand. Is those boys are trying to tell you you don't belong there. You know, for a long time, girls on wrestling mats, even still now, they still get flack. You know what I mean? I said, but they're going to whoop your ass every single day to make you quit, and the days that you keep coming back, you're going to get better and better and better, and eventually you're going to smoke one of those boys, and you're going to realize that all that getting kicked while you're down shit has made you a better person.
Absolutely. Yep. And, hey, you know what's interesting to me is that, like you said, these last 5 years is when it really came together, but when I was writing for HOV with Dan here, who did I pick for Breakthrough Fighter of the Year? Anthony.
Yes.
Anthony Burchak.
Hell yeah, that's awesome.
You know, I picked you over, and I had Marlon Moraes and Brandon Thatch behind you. So.
Damn.
So that's exactly what, you know, that hard work pays off. And that, I think it was that fight against, what's that kid's name? The white kid that got in the UFC.
Ryan Benoit, that's still my favorite fight ever.
That fight was bananas. And
yeah, I watched that the other day just for shits and gigs. I'm like, I have to, because I look at my face and I look at, you know, what mindset was I in when I was fighting this kid? Because I was, you know, at that point, I believe I was unstoppable. And I need to get back to, I've lost a lot of stuff since that Anthony Burchak. I've lost a team. I've lost, you know, a couple coaches, and I got to get back to, you know, some stability with coaching staff and really commit to a camp this year. And I think my UFC career will definitely make a big turnaround here. But, dude, that fight was absolutely bananas because I did not fucking stop, and I loved it.
That was a sick fight.
You were unsubmittable. He was unsubmittable. Back and forth. Yeah. And just, it was like, it was one of those fights that you're like, holy shit. And then, honestly, what seemed like overnight, MFC, I don't, where did it go? Where, tell me where MFC went.
Well, so Mark Pavlich did that punch the vote thing where he put me, Sam Alvey, and Smolino Rama up against each other because he didn't want to just make a decision and be like, okay, you're going to be the main event. He had one dude who's Canada's number one heavyweight. He had Smiling Sam Alvey, who has, you know, umpteen knockout coming from Bellator out of Dan Henderson's gym. And then you have me coming up, you know, who was coming off of three knockouts. You know, I was 9-1 at the time with, you know, 8 finishes. So it was like, how do I put one of these kids in the main event? You know what I mean? So he did this punch the vote thing, and he ended up promoting us and ourselves, promoting, you know, the MFC beyond anything I thought maybe Mark thought it could be, because we blew it up. and then you crowned Anthony Hamilton as the heavyweight champ, you crowned Sam Alvey as the middleweight champ, and you crowned me as the inaugural bantamweight champ, and then all of a sudden, we left. So the three major champions, the three major draws, are gone. You know, and me and Mark got into a big, we're great now, he sent me a Christmas gift and everything, but, you know, we got into a huge contract dispute, we got into, you know, all this bullshit red tape, but it was after that, he didn't have the star power or that hungry drive anymore with, you know, up and coming fighters that were still, you know, a big up and coming name. I think Tom Galicchio was probably the last guy to come out of there that was, you know, anything worth talking about.
It's crazy because, like I said, he, you know, like MFC was there. It was like, it was the best promotion in Canada. It was probably behind Bellator as far as promotions go. We had Mark on our show all the time, and he was like, I don't want, if GSP was a free agent, he goes, I don't want him for my show. I don't want a GSP for my show. I want guys that come to fight. I just want to entertain. I want my shows for people to leave and be like, wow, that was something. You know, like, those were fights, not like some guy pushing a guy up a cage and against the ropes and just holding him there.
Well, do you guys remember the Ryan Jimmo Lewis fight where that Lewis had that giant hematoma over both his eyes?
Was it the one where Jimmo, it's going to sound stupid to say, was it the boring one with Jimmo? Because that's a lot of them in MFC.
I don't think that was a boring one. That one was probably one of the fights of the year, in my opinion. I was like, man, I want to fight for that organization because they put on fights like that. Like, that was, I'm pretty sure it was Ryan Jimmo's last fight in MFC before he went on to the UFC. It's funny that you say that because it was like Ryan Jimmo's career in the MFC was boring as shit, right? And then he hits the UFC, knocks out Anthony Parrish, knocks out someone else. You know, and I get a text from Mark Pavlich. He's like, this guy couldn't finish a soda can when he was in Canada, and now he's out here, you know, finishing all these guys on the big show. And I laughed because I'm the exact opposite. In my first 10 fights as a pro, I have probably like 8 fight of the night performances, whether it was submission of the night, fight of the night, you know, knockout of the night. I had a bunch, you know, fight of the year with Ryan Benoit, and then, you know, submission of the night against Tito Jones to win my belt. And then I get into the UFC, and I get caught in a heel hook. That kid wins $50,000. I knock out Joe Soto, which who was just the title challenger at my weight. Didn't get the bonus, and then I get knocked the fuck out by Thomas Almeida. He gets another performance of the night bonus. And all these other Arizona fighters, like Courtney Casey, who was in the XSC, you know, she's had 2 performance of the night bonuses. It's just, like, danced around me when it comes to the bonuses. But I think it's funny the way you know, people's careers change, you know, because Jimmo was boring in the MFC, and he was probably one of the most exciting fighters at that weight in the UFC. Especially when he signs with the UFC and knocks Anthony Parrish out in 7 seconds. And then does probably one of the dopest robot walks ever. Starts breakdancing and popping.
He does a good robot. You got to give Jimmo that.
He loves his robot.
Yeah, he is the robot man.
So what else has been going on, man? Everything solid? Fights coming up? Anything? Or are you just chilling, living the dream, and
being a dad. I got Mercedes on deck. She's fighting at Jackson's MMA series February 13th against Jasona Olis, who is Holly Holm's main training partner. I got Chris Gonzalez, who's my 145-pound stud, fighting another kid there from Jackson. So we're going out to the Lion's Den and about to play Upsetter again. I got a kid fighting in our first Muay Thai fight, representing my gym as our first Muay Thai fighter, February 19th. So I'm just taking a back seat right now. You know, I'm trying to really finalize and put together into perspective, like, kind of what I want to do when I come back to the octagon. Because like I said, I've lost coaches, I've lost a team, I've lost, you know, some stuff that I had when I was, you know, the MFC champion and when I came to fight, you know, Ian Entwistle and stuff. So I need to revisit some stuff and kind of figure out either I'm moving to Las Vegas or am I going to make a move to Albuquerque or what am I doing that I'm going to have to change my career so that I can, you know, be back as one of the most dominant bantamweights in the world. You know, that Dominic Cruz and TJ Dillashaw fight really, it just kind of put me in like a negative zone, like not like negative mentality, but like a neutral zone of just like, what the fuck do I do from here? You know what I mean? Where am I at after all this? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Do I need to learn capoeira and?
Yeah. You know, and I think I have some of the most dynamic movement in the bantamweight division as well. You know, it's just, it's like I'm an arrow laying on the floor with no Indian to pull me back and shoot me in any which direction. You know what I mean? So I need somebody to point me in a direction and fire me off their bow. You know what I mean? And that's kind of what I've been lacking is just a real solid head coach.
Well, I mean, you've trained with Cub, you've trained with Ike Valley Flag. You know, you said you're contemplating maybe going to New Mexico. I mean, whenever anybody says, like, I'm just a piece of clay kind of thing, the first thing you think of is, well, you got to go to Jackson's. I mean, Cowboy's there. Even my boy Frank Lester trains there. And, I mean, you know as well as I do that that's probably the best fit for you. Because when you went and trained there, you were really, you know, on social media, seemed pretty happy.
Oh, I was just ecstatic. I was, you know, tickled pink with elation and excitement. And, you know, Cubs really mentored me as of the last 2 years and really showed me some stuff in the scene, you know. But I definitely agree that Coach Brandon Six Gun over there is the guy that I want, you know, at the helm of my camp. There's another coach, Coach Casey Halstead of 10th Planet Las Vegas, you know, that I wouldn't mind, you know, overlooking my MMA ground from here on out. He's also a Golden Gloves boxer, you know, and it's just, I think Greg Jackson and the way, Greg and Wink operate as far as tacticians. I'm a huge tactician. I have to watch hours of tape and look for hitches in my opponent's armor. And this is something that they do very well, you know, and I want to be added to the name of likes of Cowboy and Cub and Holly and, you know, John Bones and, you know, there's so many people that come out of there. That's just Alistair Overeem's, you know, his career's having a huge resurgence when he's coming back with, you know, Team Jackson. So I need to reignite the flame and really recenter myself, you know, after Mercedes fight. But right now she's the one that needs to be selfish. She's the one that needs to take the time because, like I said, she's fighting Jasona Olis, who's a tough girl. The very first time I met Jasona was when me and Cub went out to Jackson. And I saw Holly, like, knock her out with that same exact setup and head kick that she caught Ronda with. And I was just like, holy shit, I'm at Jackson's MMA. Like, it was just, I walk in the door and I hear, ha, 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 clap. And I was like, the fuck was that? And I see, like, some poor girl just fall out of the distance stiff. And I was like, holy shit.
Yeah, Holly Holm, she's no joke. And yeah, I'm curious to see how her and Misha Tate go. I think honestly, and you don't quote me, but if the fight was tomorrow and someone said okay, you do a pick 'em, I'm picking Misha.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, styles do make matchups, and I think Ronda is just was too hyper aggressive, you know what I mean? Everyone knows what she wants to do, and then Edmund Tervurdian gave her a false sense of, you know, having good hands. I think that's probably one of the biggest things of a grappler that you see. And I'm gonna say this from a wrestler's point of view, is I see a lot of wrestlers saying, okay, I got the ground game down, I know how to smash them, but take them down and smash, you know? I need my hands to be right. And I just had this discussion with somebody else. He used to wrestle for Briarcliff University in Iowa. And, you know, he was an Arizona State champion wrestler. And I was like, hey, bud, where you been? You know, you need to come back to MMA class. And he goes, oh, well, I'm taking time away to get with his boxing coach to get my hands right. And I'm like, okay, I understand that. I understand I'm not a world-class boxing coach, but I understand striking for wrestlers. That's what I've made my program off of, is our striking system is in the inside a wrestler's mind. So, you know, the pitfall that boxers fall under, and I fell into it, was I'm a world-class striker now, and I need to go strike with a striker, when in reality, it's I need to figure out when she's going to push in so I can parry one or two punches, maybe get hit once, and have her initiate the clinch for me, you know, rather than me blitz her cut an angle and hit me with a left hand right to the mouth, and then I'm looking at the cage and looking back like, where did Holly Holm go, you know, so...
I'm just saying, that angle she cut
was so vicious, bro. She hit her with a left hand, cut out to that right, and Ronda was on her knees looking at, you know, who knows who outside of the cage, and then, like, got up. Like, she was astonished. She went forward, and Holly wasn't there.
Yeah. Dan knows I'm giggling right now, because almost verbatim to what you're saying is what I've said. From Edmund's advice to... the way she fought that fight, like, do I think that if they fought again, if Ronda fights that exact same way, she's going to go out the exact same way. If she fights
Absolutely. Her
fight, if she doesn't, and I've said it a lot, Sanchez, Josh Koscheck, guys that start careers ground and pounding the shit out of people and beating their ass on the ground, that's what they're good at. You train your hands, you train your boxing so you can – yeah, you can box a little bit, but you read what the other guy's doing so you can set up what you're really good at doing. But why is it that all these guys with these wicked ground games or nasty ground and pound games, they fall so in love with their hands that they never go back to their ground game? And it's almost non-existent.
Bro, it's that taste. It's that taste. So when I left Rise Combat, I had two kids that came with me. I had a kid named Lenny Wong, you know, who's just this buff Asian kid, very talented athlete as far as football and other body sports, you know, but he was having a hard time finding his mix with, you know, fighting. And then this other kid who's a second degree judo black belt, wrestled for the University of Indianapolis, and he was a state runner up two times in Indiana. I was teaching him, exactly like I said, striking that works for wrestlers, grapplers. You know, level changes, coming up top, back to level changes, back in all legs. He got a 7-second knockout, and I'll be damned if that motherfucker just didn't turn into a Muay Thai fighter, bouncing on his front foot, you know, the whole time, never fucking trying to take anybody down again. You know, because he had that taste, and that's what he's looking for, that fucking 7-second knockout again. And it's like, dude, get rid of that. That is your white buffalo that you caught very early on in your career. Get back to taking fuckers down and submitting them.
It's frustrating, too, because you look at a guy like Diego Sanchez, whose ground and pound was ferocious.
Honestly,
you know?
Some of the best in MMA before he was in the UFC.
Yeah, before he was in the UFC, he was just dominant. And then even during the Ultimate Fighter and the Ultimate Fighter finale and all that, just ferocious ground and pound, and for whatever reason, he's been convinced himself that he's a stand-up fighter now, and his biggest attribute, not to insult him, I'm one of his biggest fans in the world, but his best attribute as a stand-up fighter is his ability to take shots and engage, he's not a boxer. Go back to what you're great at. You know, fans didn't dislike you because of it.
I had an epiphany about a week ago on, you know, what has changed in my life, because I've been assessing what I've been doing. I need to always be 100% truthful with myself, whether it's, you know, telling myself I fucking suck as a fighter or you know, I haven't been pushing myself in my training regimens, and it's not the case. I think guys get to the UFC and they fight how they're told to fight, you know what I mean, which is it's just dumb, you know, or how they hear people want to see them fight, you know. Because let's say Diego had one good, you know, banger, and everyone's like, man, you should fight like that all the time. Like, that's amazing. He's like, holy shit, maybe I should fight like that all the time. You know, it's like, I need to get back to the person that I was, you know, when I started, which is coming out 1,000 miles an hour and keeping it at 1,000 miles an hour for the whole fight. I think once you get to the UFC, you try to play it too safe, you try to fight too safe, and you end up not fighting your game, you know, so... I mean, I think that happens with a lot of fighters at the beginning of their careers, middle of careers, the end of their careers. They try to reinvent themselves or they try to perfect themselves, and they end up, you know, straying away from who they truly are as far as or as far as who, what truly got them there to the higher level. So I'm trying to reassess where I'm at, you know, and really get back to that Ryan Benoit fighter. You know what I mean? The Tito Jones fighter who came forward and didn't stop. And, you know, the guy that knocked out Matt Leyva because he constantly came forward. You know, I still come forward in the UFC, but I understand that that is now against world-class strikers. You know, I could get picked apart. Dude, honestly, man, I would love to fight Thomas Almeida again, and I don't give a fuck. You know, I want to do that in Vegas, though. I don't want to fight Brazil ever again. So I would love a rematch with Thomas Almeida after I get, you know, back on a 3-4 fight win streak. That's something that I want happen either, you know, he can either come to Phoenix or, he, you know, we can do it in Las Vegas. But I just feel like I can beat that kid, you know?
Absolutely. It's I love hearing the science of the whole thing because, you know, that Eddie Alvarez versus Anthony Pettis fight really pissed me off because Dion here, for our show, he's mainly a WWE guy. We'll say he's our analyst. You know, he's got all those things in his head from 1996 that he can remember. So I want him to, like, come to the – I wanted him to come over, watch this Anthony Pettis and Eddie Alvarez fight because I was like, this is a can't-miss fight. You, no matter what, this fight is going to be gangbusters. And then, as you saw, Eddie Alvarez came out and just went for the win. And by that, I mean just leaning on him. He didn't really take him down. He knew he couldn't strike with Pettis. So he didn't go balls out Eddie Alvarez like the guy I love to watch. I love to watch Eddie Alvarez. The guy I saw fight Anthony Pettis, I never want to watch fight again.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, like...
Yeah, but, I mean, see, if he heard you say that, you know what I mean? And, like, not that you're not important, but let's say you were someone a little bit more important with a little bit more class or, you know, higher class in the MMA realm as a coach. As far as a coach, if someone heard you say that and be like, fuck, man, I don't want my fans to, you know, to not want to watch me fight, you know what I mean? But he got the fucking job done, you know, especially against Anthony Pettis.
Right. And that's the thing is, like, okay, basically he said, not strike. I can't do what I do is I go balls to the wall, throwing punches, making it a brawl, getting rocked once, and then coming back for the rest of the fight and, you know, imposing my will. That's how Eddie Alvarez fights. He basically said, I can't do that or I'm going to get knocked out, so I'm going to do this.
It's tough, I mean, because you have to weigh your options.
Right.
The UFC right now, you can't afford to lose a fight. You know what I mean? It's like, if you're at that top level, there's so much pressure on you to win, to advance your career. And the other side of it is Eddie Alvarez has always been one of the more exciting fighters, like you said. But who does he has the responsibility to who? His fans, who want to see him fight and cheer him on? Or himself, who has to advance himself in the business, you know?
Exactly. Do you know what? Like I said, I'm a realist. I can understand the UFC could have cut me after Thomas Almeida. You know what I mean? Like, I'm 1-2 in the UFC, you know? And I look at guys like Joe Soto, who, you know, were former world champions, dominant fighters, you know? And he's 0-3 in the UFC. How does he not have a fucking win in the UFC? You know, that kid's tough as fuck.
Yeah.
You know, it's just... But we're fighting a different way because it's like I tell my guys, get out there and fight to fucking win. Don't go out there trying not to lose. Does that make sense? Fight to win. Don't fight not to lose.
Right.
You know, and that is two different mentalities. It's like the same thing. Well, you're fighting not to lose. Yeah, but that's not fighting to win. There's a difference. You know, you're just trying to fucking survive rather than, you know, survive and thrive in that cage. And, you know, it's hard, but I think once you have a coach who understands who you are and you bond, you know, like TJ and you know, and Bang, you know, I wasn't super impressed with TJ, you know, early on in his career. You know, I saw Dodson knock him out and, you know, he did good stuff. He was an alpha male. Those guys are always going to be tough no matter what the scenario is. But now, you know, he's just so fluid with his footwork. He's got power. He's, you know, got confidence behind it now. And it's all because of one coach, you know. Unfortunately, it wasn't Uriah, and I think that's a shitty situation, but, you know, it's just these fighters have to realize that it is, at the end of the day, look at your fucking paperwork. You know, your pink slip's coming soon if you don't change something. You know, and it sucks to say, but that's the harsh reality we live in. If we signed a 5-year deal like the NFL for X amount of dollars, I guarantee fighters would fight completely fucking different. Not a 4-fight contract where you're 0-2 and you can get cut, but, you know, we can be in the organization for a while. Fighters have ups and downs in their career. That's what fighting is. You know, they need to find themselves. They have family problems. They crash. You know, all kinds of shit happens in a fighter's life. You know, it's truly living the fight life. But if you gave us a time duration where we could, you know, settle in and really establish ourselves, you don't hear of boxers getting cut. You know, like where do you hear of a boxer getting released from the WBO? Like that, where the fuck does that happen?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like fighters go up and down in boxing and they come back and they have a resurgence. You know, and they don't have to worry that, hey, at the end of this resurgence, am I going to go on another skid and get cut? Like, we don't have to worry about that shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and that's the issue with, I think, the another one of the drawbacks of the UFC, you know, taking over all the other fight organizations, Pride, Strikeforce, WFA, IFL, you know, because before, you know, there was a place that these guys were all fighting, and there wasn't the pressure to perform as much. Now it's basically, you're in the UFC, you have to win. If you don't win or look good, you get, you know, cut. And then basically there's Bellator. And after that, I mean, it drops significantly to, like, you know, Titan and all that. And it's like the organizations needed to exist for fighters to get that experience. Now you have guys with 6 fights fighting in the UFC.
Yeah.
And, you know, you have a bad performance, and all of a sudden, you know, you're done.
It's yeah, but, too you much know, pressure. Then you get guys like that are 6-0 fighting in the UFC, like Sage Northcutt or Cody Garbrandt, you know what I mean? And
sure.
That seems, and I don't speak – I want to say that there's not even the same amount of pressure as a guy coming in who has had a, you know, built a legacy on Access TV and has built his name on Access TV, you know what I mean? Because I don't really think that there's that much pressure at being 6-0. I know when I was 3-0 and I got the call from Bellator, I was just excited to fight, and I fought my ass off, and I won by submission against a dude who was 7-3. If that isn't a niche, that I don't know what it is. You know, the kid had as many losses as I did already fight. So,
yeah.
You know, I'm fighting the hometown kid, I come and beat the shit out of him and choke him, you know, in the first round, and I'm having a good time, you know. You know, it's hard to say with these kids, you know, Cody Garbrandt and Sage Northcutt, if they had a longer career already, you know, if they're, let's say they were, you know, like Justin Gaethje's 15-0 coming in, let's say Justin Gaethje comes over to the UFC and he's got all that pressure, same amount of pressure that Eddie Alvarez had coming over from Bellator, you know, these transition fighters, that pressure's probably more on them rather than just a young guy coming up, I'm 6-0, who gives a fuck, I'm going to go out there and kick somebody in their fucking face.
Who's just thrilled to fucking be there.
Exactly. You know what I mean? I think
everyone
needs to find and realize, hey, we are fighting for the NFL of fucking fighting. But at the same time, you know, with that contract in the back of the head, there's so much shit that plays into this game. It's insane. It'll fucking keep you awake at night.
I imagine.
Yeah, but yeah, like you said, I think that what happens is you just got to go out and you got to just go out and fight. And I like the fight to win, don't fight to not fight not to lose. Fight to not lose.
It's hard to say. Believe me, it's hard to say. I don't know why it's so easy to do.
But I'm with you, man. I get that 100%, and it makes sense. And I think we're seeing a real big change in MMA, and by MMA I mean the UFC, where, like you said, there are guys coming in that are 3-0, 4-0. You know, they hadn't done that kind of stuff since they brought Frankie Edgar in. They were, you know, doing the Ultimate Fighter all this time for the guys that were 4-0, 5-0, whatever.
Exactly.
You know, no one was coming in with that low of a record because they were, you know, the big leagues. And, you know, how some guy that maybe he's a 205 phenom somewhere. Well, okay, he's 3-0. He's got all the skills in the world, but you can't put him in. No one's going to make a fight between him and John Jones. No commission's going to sanction that. So,
yeah.
You know, I mean, so we're seeing things differently here. And conversely.
But what's the difference between that and what Patrick Cummings did coming in against DC as a 3-0 fighter fighting a headline event? Why did that commission pass that one? You know what I mean? Like,
because there's money involved.
Exactly. But that's what I'm saying. As long as there's money involved, the fights are going to get pushed through no matter what.
Yeah, now you have Dana and Matt and the Tooth doing the Looking for a Fight series, and now you have guys that are 1-0,
hey,
that Mickey Gall coming over to fight, you know, CM Punk, and it's just
let me jump in on that, right, by the way. So for about 3 or 4 years now, I've been talking about what Dana's doing. And I've talked to several people about it. I've tried to get funding for it. It was called After the Cut. So what I wanted to do was exactly what Dana's doing. He's traveled to different places for competitions and talked to the local fighter there, is like, you know, the local stars, like, hey, where's your favorite restaurant to go after the cut? Where's your, like, dirty ass, you know, in Tucson it would be like Pat's Chili Dog. Like, it's you know, it's a dive place, but they have the best fucking chili dog, the best chili in, you know, in town. Then an upscale place, you know, like, where's a place to go, you know, here in Tucson is probably, like, El Charro, which is probably one of the best dried meats in Mexican, you know, cuisine here. So that's what I wanted to do. You know, we wanted to go around and you know, pick these cities and do this thing of, you know, you have one guy who's competing, you know, after he's done cutting weight, where are we going to eat, feature the food, feature the restaurant, feature everything like that, feature the competition, and then, you know, have that goofy guy like they have Nick the Tooth, you know, the guy that's going to drink the crazy shit and eat the crazy food and throw the fuck up, and, you know, that's what the concept was, and that's exactly what's going on. It's just, I'm just too poor to fucking get it off the ground.
That's such a bummer.
That is a bummer.
I'm not laughing.
You know what I mean? Like,
I'm not laughing at you.
You're laughing with me, right?
I'm laughing with you.
Yeah, he's laughing, you know, in front of you.
You know, so the other concept I've had is I told Cub, I was like, dude, I want to do a Food Network Chop UFC. You know what I mean? All the fitness shit that we have to meal prep and all the food that we have to eat. You know, I cook a lot of shit for, you know, 6 miles at my house. I can get down in the kitchen. So I wanted to do like a Chop series where they would bring in, you know, different weight class guys or same weight class, doesn't matter, and have us cook off.
That would be fucking sick. I would watch it. I love Food Network and Chopped.
You know, so I think that would be dope. But again, I'm too poor and I don't have the connections to get the shit out there.
Well, you just got to do it, I guess. That's, you know how it is, man. In this day and age, all you need is a video camera, and that's pretty much it. Dude's getting famous putting out vines, like smacking their girlfriend or doing rock bottoms into a pool or, you know, from out of nowhere. And then they get, like, 30 million views, and somehow they make a lot more money than I'll ever see on that, you know?
Yeah, no shit, right? Well, but yeah, I'm actually – I really want to start tuning into that that Looking for a Fight thing. I think that's it's a cool concept, cool idea.
Yeah, and Evan and I actually last week watched a couple episodes online together, and I was very entertained by it. I think they do a good job. They have the right mix of, you know, Matt Serra is just, you know, the likable guy. Nick the Tooth, like you said, is just a crazy nut, and Dana, and it's pretty entertaining.
Yeah, so. Exactly. And that, I had a friend of mine that I wrestled with in college. He ended up graduating college, which I don't know many wrestlers that did. They ended up just wrestling in college. I know maybe a few of them that got a degrees, but he ended up becoming one of the leading biologists in North America. And now he goes down to Lima, Peru and Amazon doing all kinds of these, species studies, invasive species, and this and that. And he had a concept a while ago. Have you ever seen Strangers in Danger?
Never heard of it. Strangers in Danger
was on the Travel Channel for a while, and it was two guys. They're in BMX, and they travel the world, and they do, you know, they skate and do BMX all over the place. You know, you'll see him riding a bike in Peru, and then the same thing is one guy eats crazy shit and throws up all the time, and the other guy's like, you know, the super athletic stud. And he pitched me that idea probably like 2005, 2006. And it was done shortly after that. I'm like, dude, what the fuck, man? Like, I need to not be poor.
No doubt.
Stop stealing the Burchak's ideas.
I'm telling you, man.
Well, we appreciate you coming on the show, man. Fuck, you got to have you on again. There's way too much to talk about.
Oh, dude. I love chopping it up, bro. And you know, I can talk about fighting. I can talk about movies. I can talk about... I don't give a shit, man. I don't know if you guys noticed, but I can just fucking talk a lot, so...
Well, we all seem to have the gift of gab here, except for Dion, because it's not about wrestling.
Oh.
Yeah, Dion did say
shit. He'll be like...
Hey, by the way, okay, so do you guys know who Shannon Rich is?
Yeah, Shannon the Cannon.
Shannon the Cannon. Okay, so Dion, if you want to come to Phoenix, I guess there's some, like... This is like, super low-key shit. I shouldn't even be saying it yet. But there's going to be this entertainment card where it's going to be pro boxing, pro MMA, and pro wrestling. So names that I've heard are Frank Trigg, Dan Severn, Roy Jones Jr. I've heard a bunch of names so far.
Shit.
The Miz. So we'll see what happens, but I'll keep you guys posted on that and see if that ever comes into fruition. But it's supposedly this cool promotion that's coming to Arizona, and they're going to do it at this venue called Celebrity Theater here in town, which, you know, they do all the comics and all the big concerts and stuff. And it's actually a really small, intimate venue, so I think it'll be pretty cool.
Oh, that's awesome.
Mm. But there you go, Dion. I got something for you out there, my dude.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
You had me at Roy Jones Jr. Really? That's all you had to say. So, hey, man, why don't you tell people your Twitter, your Facebook, your Instagram, where they could find you, where they could learn more about you, where they can start your Anthony Burchak Chop page, you know, all.
Yeah, all right. So I'm super interactive with everybody. All my fans have always hit me up. I've always gotten back to everybody. Follow me on Instagram and Twitter at aburchakmma. My Facebook fan page is facebook.com/AnthonyBurchak. And then you guys can hit me up on AnthonyBurchak.com. Stay tuned for my fighters coming up, man. I'm you know, hoping that we put these guys on the Friday night finishes on Access TV when we go up to Jackson's MMA series February 13th. So follow me and keep up with my fight team and all the stuff we got coming on later in 2016.
Awesome. And if you follow Anthony Burchak on Twitter and he posts a picture on Facebook, you're going to know about it.
Yeah, that's a... Okay, that's Mercedes, by the way. And you're the only fucker that's up at 3:30 in the morning that has something to say about it. It's either you or Ryan Loco that's up super, super early in the morning. And she tries to do that shit when no one's awake, so it gets drowned out in the timeline, but it doesn't happen. I still see umpteen notifications about what's going on.
It's funny to me, and I'm sorry, when I get 35 notifications telling me that you just uploaded a picture to Facebook, I have to be an asshole and say, hey, Anthony, did you just upload a picture to Facebook?
No shit. Because
it's
funny to me every time. I'm sorry.
Ah, don't worry about it, man. It's awesome. It's all good.
Hey, well, thank you guys for having me on. I appreciate it. You know, hopefully we'll do it again soon. Am I going to see you guys in Las Vegas for the Fighters Only Awards?
Come on, man. If they're not nominating Best Artist, then what do I got to go for?
All right, fair enough.
And I probably still wouldn't win.
Oh, God.
That's true.
Sons of bitches.
All right. Well, take it easy, gentlemen.
Yeah, man, you're welcome here anytime. That is our show, ladies and germs. Thank you very much, and we'll see you next time.